Welcome back to the Service Design Podcast. My name is Jeroen De Peit.
And I'm Lauren Somers.
And we have two guests with us today. Our first guest stepped into service design amidst a cyber attack at the Radiological Imaging Center in May 2021. Her application of design thinking skills, empathy, and rapid prototyping was crucial in maintaining essential healthcare services during the crisis. And this first-hand experience inspired her towards a master's degree in service design at the National College of Art and Design in Dublin. She is now a consulting development analyst at Accenture. Welcome, Ashley Nee.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
And our second guest is also a service designer, but now currently at Mater Transformation of the Mater University Hospital Dublin. Together with Ashleen, she followed pursuit into a master's service design at NCAD Dublin, embracing the broader design perspective and focusing on the healthcare sector. At Mater Hospital Dublin, she's at the forefront of creating healthcare services that prioritize accessibility, ease patient experiences, and enhance communication. Welcome to the podcast, Linda Klotzbach.
Thank you so much. It's nice to be here.
Ashleen, I heard you only went to college, not just because of this crisis, but also because you took on a bet with your father.
Yeah. So initially, I wasn't going to go to college at all. Because I had such a terrible time in secondary school, in my high school experience, and I thought the thought of further education just, it was disastrous for me. I really didn't want to do it, and I also didn't think I would be able for it, surprisingly enough, just because of the kind of mindset and dated mindset of education in Ireland at the time. They only really recognized one kind of type of intelligence, and I just didn't fit it, as I was always quite creative and curious, and that was something that my teachers would always try and stray me away from, and even go so far as saying it wouldn't get me very far in life. But luckily, my dad really encouraged me that, you know, I was bright and I could use it and just give it a chance. And we made a bet, and I said reluctantly, okay, I'll try it till Christmas. And he actually picked my degree, which was a design degree in industrial design, so product design, in Galway. And I said, yeah, I'll try to Christmas, but I really don't think, you know, it's for me. But I'm so glad that I made the bet and he won because, yeah, we're 5 years on. I have a 4-year degree in industrial design and a master's degree in service design. So the minute I got a taste for design, I just couldn't stop. And it's been an upward trajectory ever since. So.
That's awesome. That's a good bet.
Yeah. Good dad. Yeah. Thanks, dad. Shout out to my dad.
And now, yeah, I think I can say it, but you both are here because you have won the Best Student Project Award for the Service Design Awards 2023. Did he ever expect you guys winning the award, going reluctantly into higher education and then winning the Best Student Award?
Not at all. We definitely didn't expect it, but then when it happened, we were even more happy and proud of just the project and all. You know, there was so much energy involved in doing the master's together. It's only been Ashleen and myself, the only two people in the master's. So it took us a lot of perseverance, and we had to keep going. And it's nice to get so far. It's really, we feel really honored.
Absolutely. And to receive that kind of recognition was huge, not just for us, but I think the college as well and our lecturers who stood by us regardless of having only two people at the end of the degree, you know, which wasn't the plan, which was a really unforeseen circumstance. And the relationship with the Mater as well and how they facilitated not just our degree, but the interaction design degree as well. And that kind of relationship and showing that you still can do it with two and no better women.
Yeah, that's lovely to hear, and I think that's I can imagine that it's super nice winning that award and seeing that as the recognition of all the hard work you guys have put in. Maybe for the listeners who are not familiar with your work, you won the Service Design Award with your project Save Time, Save Lives. But could you give us some background of the project? How did it came to be, and what did you guys achieve?
So as you mentioned earlier, Aisling and myself, we've been studying the master's degree service design at NCAD in Dublin. And part of that year in college is a lot of collaboration project with various institutions or companies. So at towards the end of the master's, before we started transitioning into our major project, our master thesis, we were having a final studio project. And this happened together with the Mater Hospitals in Dublin, which is one of the major hospitals in Dublin inner city. And the collaboration was already ongoing for a couple of years. So the hospital was used to students coming in. It happens every year, and it's always a nice time for them because getting young, enthusiastic students in, asking a lot of questions is always challenging, but also exciting for them as well. And we're just lucky that the collaboration between the college and the Mater Hospital is already very well established. And so we jumped on and spent 5 weeks within the hospital. So we moved from NCAD, which is also in Dublin in the city, in a studio space in the Mater Hospital. So we could be on site and just go for interviews whenever there was time for it, because obviously in a healthcare environment, you don't get every second the opportunity to talk to a doctor or a nurse who are really busy. So that was a great advantage. And we just got basically from our college a challenge description, which was under the big headline of major trauma. And that's a big topic. I remember the time, you know, Aisling, and we were just like, okay, major trauma. What does that mean? Who's involved? That's a pretty big challenge that the Mater Hospital becomes the major trauma center soon. And they want to improve the services in before as much as possible. So we took the big challenge on, but we were already aware we kind of have to find a niche within it.
A focus, maybe. Yeah.
Kind of a focus topic. And we were actually a team of three. Yu can't be here today, Yu Sun. She was at the time in interaction design, and Aisling and myself in service design. That was a great mix because she brought a few technical ideas into our team, which might not have happened if we wouldn't be a team together. That was great. And we took on the challenge about pre-hospital care. I think that was the headline. So what it means is we basically looked at what are paramedics doing when there's a major trauma incident, let's say a car crash on a road. Paramedics are sent out and they come with an ambulance, and then there's already communication happening between the paramedics and the people in the emergency department in the hospital. We looked actually on that process for a while up until we reached the level of detail of handover situations between paramedics and the Mater Hospital.
Yeah, so when the moment that the major trauma happens, so that's any injury or series of injuries that have the capacity to result in either a long-term disability or a death. So really serious stuff, as Linda was saying, it could be a 5-car collision. So essentially from the moment that happened, right up until they arrived at the hospital and the paramedics hand over everything they've done and the hospital team take over. That was our baby, essentially. That was our section. But then we were also collaborating with all the other teams in the masters who were then taking over from resus, then rehabilitation, and then all the way down, I think, till aftercare and recovery. So we did, all of us in unison, did have the entire major drama journey covered, but myself, Linda, and Yu had just the pre-hospital section itself, which was arguably probably one of the most important, because if you mess up there, you know, it leads to difficulty for everyone else later on. And it was, I think the Mater did decide on the project. NCAD and the Mater do this every year, But I think as Linda was saying about, they want to become the new Trauma Bay, the go-to kind of example and facility for the entire country. And at the moment, while we were working there and collaborating with them there, I think at the time when a major trauma happened, they could only take one or two patients. They only had capacity for one or two. And then if it was a five-car collision and you have five, all the different people would have to be taken to different sides of the country, even the opposite side of the country, to receive definitive care, which is ridiculous. So that's why we're kind of called to come in and see, could we change a perspective or make things easier so that wouldn't have to be the case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we definitely want to go deeper into that collaboration and also the workflow and the process. But maybe a scoop for our listeners, improved it. you came up with some great ideas. So maybe that's also interesting to highlight because you were the winners of the Service Design Award. So I'm pretty curious to what you guys proposed or tried to improve as an outcome of that project.
Yeah, so essentially at the end of it all, and we did have a bit of a blip in between, which we'll talk about, where we try to go in a different direction. But then our research and our insights were leading us in a totally other direction. So we persevered through that. But essentially, we came up with a three-tiered solution that was an idea proposal that had three elements. So we had the digital screen aid, which would highlight, as Linda was saying earlier, all the patient's vital signs, any imagery that was taken by the paramedics for all the hospital team to view, and then the checklist depending on their conditions and what had been done and what was yet to do, and a medical administration checklist as well for everyone to see that could be live transcripted from the hospital team to prevent all that regurgitation of the same information over and over again. So if the paramedics had given fentanyl to someone, that could be recorded and given straight away rather than the scribe nurse having to write that down, run into resus and write it up on a board and then communicate it to other people. So, and as well, one of the other big things we noticed outside of communication and technicality was the space itself. So when a major trauma happens, you know, you have a whole team set up. They have labels which show whether or not they're an anesthesiologist or what exactly their specific role is. And they have a certain amount of time, I suppose, to get around the patient and do their specific tasks and try and get them to an area that, you know, has a sterile field and they can perform whatever they need to do. But we had noticed that that kind of rushing and that space led to a lot of hesitation or falling over each other and a safety hazard in itself. And we had an idea that their roll stickers that they were already wearing could match to a specific 360 degree circumference around the patient itself. So they could identify themselves with the position on the floor, which could even be highlighted from the ceiling, color coded. So they could know exactly where to go, stand exactly where they needed to stand. And again, saved a lot of time and took away that kind of stress and gave the focus back to the staff itself. I think overall that was our main goal, to give them back their focus and their energy into doing what they needed to do, rather than be bombarded with all these extra things that would just get in the way of themselves and the patient's care.
So those are three very clear outcomes from a very broad and open design challenge that you started from.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing to come up with something so so clear. You talked about the design challenge focusing on the pre-hospital, the trauma from the incident to the hospital. Your intervention is actually at the hospital itself, as I understand. Can you maybe take us through the process of how you discovered what needed to be changed to improve the trauma care at the hospital, increase the capacity for from managing trauma and more than being able to treat more than one or two patients in this location?
I think, so how I mentioned earlier, we started off looking at the entire pre-hospital journey, means we started talking to paramedics and just listen to them. What is the exact protocol they are going through when a major trauma incident happens? Who's informing who? We figured out, you know, there's the dispatcher talking to the paramedic, actually. And there's, for example, never a real time conversation between paramedic and the hospital. There's always a middle person in between, which was an interesting finding, and we wouldn't know as an outside person before. So, you know, we uncovered a couple of things by just asking basically, what are you doing and how are you doing it? And then why are you doing it? And I think that's the beauty of it. Just us as students coming into the hospital, we don't have any idea of any of the processes. Honestly, I had to learn so many terms because I couldn't understand the doctors and the consultants talking, because a lot of abbreviation, a lot of special terms, and you're just like, oh my God, what's actually happening? And figuring that out and mapping it out, as we always do in service design, was so helpful to see what are paramedics doing, but then also how is the handover happening in the hospital. And I think why our solutions are more focused on the actual hospital environment is because our project was in the hospital. So the access we had to people and facilities was within the emergency department. So I think we started rather thinking of solutions in that space we could actually enter, rather than thinking about processes and people which we couldn't really engage with, or we wouldn't have the chance. For example, the paramedics, there are two types. There are paramedics from the Dublin Fire Brigade, but there are also paramedics from the NAS, the National Ambulance Service. And there was a lot of nitty-gritty we couldn't dig too deep into because we had time constraints. So we rather focused on the hospital setting.
Yeah, maybe to go deeper into that, because I find it really interesting, and I relate this to our own projects as well, to start maybe with the people, but also the means that are available, and see them a little bit as a solution space as well. I think there's nothing wrong with that, and seeing like, okay, we can reach these people, let's try to focus on this, because then we also know that solutions or outcomes that we propose are in the reach of these people, and also the reach of the means of let's say the emergency department. But what I'm curious about is you talked earlier about maybe this look of innocence into the organization and just coming into this daily works and asking a lot of questions. Were they aware of the extent of challenges that you discovered, or that you were focusing on, or was it completely new for them, or how did they, or you guys tailor it to the project in relation to the people you're interviewing?
I think with human nature, when you do something, and a lot of people we spoke to were experts in their field. I mean, they had been there for the last 20 years. And I think there comes a point where they kind of will become desensitized to the way that they're working and why they're working that way. And what we really wanted to do was, rather than change what they're doing, is discover what they were doing and why they were doing it, and how we could weave in solutions and build from their current process, rather than intervene and interject. But how could we harness and play to their strengths and make it better for them as a whole? So initially, I think there was some skepticism with the idea of new technology and new ideas, and, you know, us as students being young people, again, like Linda said, with no previous clinical background or experience, coming in is very invasive, and it's intimidating, and it's kind of like, what on God's sweet earth would you be able to tell me? You know, I'm a consultant for 20 years, and they have every right to believe that. But nonetheless, we were absolutely accepted and given the opportunity to shadow with open arms. But I think the expectations at the beginning were kind of low, you know. So I think once myself, Linda, and Yuyu had established the relationship and the reputation that actually, you know, we're not here to change your mind or try and infiltrate what you do. We fully understand or aware that you are the expert, but we believe you have the answer to your own problem, and we're just here to get that answer out of you. We can bring that answer out of you. And once that was realized then, and we were able to use our design skills and what we do well, combined with what they do well, they were able to see the potential and the future of what the, how their ways of working could change.
How did that collaboration take shape then? Were you introduced to the people at the hospital, like a big introduction of these students are here, they're going to interview you, they're working on this mission? Or was this more laying the groundwork yourself, going to them?
No, I think it's definitely a relationship. In Matter Transformation, there's already a good relationship with a lot of healthcare workers within the hospital, just due to the fact that they are around for more than 10 years and people in the hospital are aware of the transformation office. So I feel like we, for us as students, it was kind of easy to blend in because we could just ask for the context we need. Let's say we uncovered, actually the paramedics play a huge role in the handover. Are we able to talk to a paramedic? And then we would just go to the healthcare team and Matter Transformation and ask who's best to talk to. And they would provide us with contacts, which was amazing because obviously within a 5 weeks project, if you would need to do the groundwork, establishing relationships, no way.
So, so you had a quite flexible, it's a quite flexible setup. You can just notice with one conversation, these are important stakeholders, and you get access to them quite, I don't think we managed to do it so rapidly in our own current projects. Half the time you have to plan at least a month in advance to...
And at least I think I can say that at least for us, I think healthcare itself is always a very interesting but also maybe a hard to reach sector. I think you said it before that I think it's a sector where compared to other sectors, time is really, really, really valuable. And to have that opportunity, I think it's super good to see, and also very, very rewarding.
I definitely agree, and especially now being an in-house service designer with Matter Transformation, I see on a daily basis how valuable it is to work with healthcare workers, even in the office. So Matter Transformation consists of designers, interaction, service design, communication design. But then on the other hand, also healthcare workers. So for example, my colleague at the moment, I'm going through a project together. She used to be a tissue viability nurse, and it's so good to have her clinical background as well as her relationships. Actually, talking of relationships, it's so important to just fall back on the relationships that actually already exist. Mm-hmm. So we as designers can kind of just smoothly come in and do our work without breaking through these barriers that usually would be there.
Yeah, but that's so cool. And maybe just to understand it really correctly, so Matter Transformation is part of the Matter Hospital in Dublin, but it really focuses on design already and incorporating design to tackle some complex problems then.
Exactly. So Matter Transformation tries, overall, it's about innovation within the hospital, but also outside the hospital, because obviously there are stakeholders like general practitioners, more in the community, paramedics who are not immediately within the hospital. So it reaches also outside of the hospital, but mainly it's about improving processes within the hospital. And there are many different projects ongoing at the time. And yeah, I think it's really valuable to have it in-house because that allows for immediate testing and all the access you need.
Just to mention as well, in the sprint, we all of the teams had to present for the discover, define, develop, and deliver stage to the healthcare staff. So they were invited and had the opportunity to see what we were working on every step of the way and almost prove our value and like new way of thinking and methods that we were using, which I think a lot of them did luckily come to and could see for themselves, wow, you know, these people could actually make a difference, or they became very interested then and were a lot more on board, I think, with how we do things, because it was something that they had either never seen before or could realize the value of. And we were fortunate enough to have rooms in the Mater Hospital where we would conduct our presentations and mm-hmm. they would be active participants in. So. Yeah.
But I can imagine that it's also quite a challenge sometimes, right? It's something that we experience as well, trying to maybe convince as well of convince your audience of the value of service design or the value of the work that you're doing, especially maybe in the first phases where it can be a little bit more exploratory and maybe a little bit more vague. What were some challenges or maybe some wins that you guys have had in this process?
Well, I think we definitely had a massive challenge in one of our presentations. I think it was the concept presentation. Myself, Linda, and Yo-Yo did because they just simply didn't get it. They didn't realize the value at all. And initially, when we started the project, we were told and we were put under very strict instruction that under no way necessary that we would ever be able to incorporate any sort of new technology or innovation or anything like that. The focus was very much pen and paper, what they already use now, and you must stick to that within all means. And I think we made the mistake of listening initially because we really took that seriously. Mm-hmm. And even though all our research and all our insights were pointing elsewhere, we just thought, oh, well, we have to listen to our stakeholders. Surely our stakeholders know what they want. But it was revealed in our concept presentation when we used a storyboard, which was a method that, you know, we were very used to and we kind of work visually anyway, and we digest information that way. But we didn't really consider our audience and the way that they digest and how they're clinical people, and they'd probably most likely would have preferred some hard facts or some ways that they could actually immerse themselves in the situation. So mm-hmm. we didn't consider that, number one. We listened to them, number two, with the kind of paper method. And I think they were expecting a far more bougie, innovative thing that they could find tangible. So we decided, look, we're just going to have to actually go with what we really want to go with, even if it kind of breaks the boundary of the project constraints, even if we're told not to, because we came to a point where we had to just trust ourselves, trust mm-hmm. what the masters had taught us so far, trust the research and that it wasn't pointing us this direction for no reason, and go with it. And I think that was the turning point and the best thing we ever did, because we went full steam ahead with that. We didn't look back. And then we decided to really take in how our stakeholders digest information and what would work best with them, so we could really help them digest and realize the potential of what we were thinking. And in the next presentation, when we invited them and a fully immersive experience, we had animations, we had a video of a hypothetical major trauma scenario, so they could see where they stepped into the journey and where mm-hmm. they exited, and they just were completely blown away. I think we got a standing ovation, actually. I think it was great.
That's a very nice comeback after bombing your first presentation. Yeah. Yeah.
But it was the best thing to make those kinds of mistakes, because even now in our everyday working lives, for me anyway, I've kind of come to realize sometimes our stakeholders, they don't actually know what they want mm-hmm. until you actually show them, and you should really just trust yourself. So it was great for mm-hmm. for me to learn to trust myself mm-hmm. and that yeah. it can work out.
Yeah, definitely. And I think you said it before as well, to trust the results of the research that you have done.
Yes,
right.
Yeah.
Because I can imagine that sometimes it's the same for projects that we do, that in the beginning that the cards on the table are just different cards, so then there maybe a scope is defined, but towards the end, maybe you have some new insights and some new truths as well, which opens up maybe another door. And then maybe there's an audience member who says, like, yeah, but why does it have to be pen and paper? And then you're like, oh, no, but you said it.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what happened. Yeah.
I can imagine.
To trust the design process.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And the methods we used.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe Linda, did you experience some challenges or maybe some wins in
definitely.
The project?
I mean, Aislinn, you just described it very well. I feel like I'm in the moment again. It was really terrifying as well. I remember the research presentation or the concept presentation, and I felt like we lost track and we just did the wrong thing. Honestly, I believed that for at least a day. I mean, we didn't have much time, so we had to change our minds quickly. we are talking basically of 1.5 weeks in between the presentations. So we had our concept presentation. It was all about a storyboard visualizing our idea of a handover scene. But I think just what we realized, the visual way we presented it was not understandable for the healthcare workers. So instead of going back thinking of a new idea, which would be based on pen and paper, we kind of were strong enough to stick with the idea we initially came up with because we still believed it's the right way to go. But we changed the way we communicated about it. Yeah. And there is the beauty of design coming in because we as designers are able to make things visual in a way it appears that it actually works and exists and it looks like it's in the room. So I feel like from that moment we had the interactive prototypes created in Figma. It gave the whole idea another level. And I remember a few quotes after the final presentation. They were like, so where's the screen now and can we use it?
Already.
And we were like, well, that's just a prototype, but it looks quite real.
Yeah.
But that was a great achievement because that showed, okay, if it would be like that and if it would be developed like that.
Mm-hmm. It sparked excitement.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they became motivated then to work.
That's a lovely feeling, right? But I think that also, it results in another challenge explaining them like, but it takes time to then implement and then make choices again towards. But it's good to hear that you found a way to get them with you in that process as well. And maybe zooming in on the outcome, because I have a picture of, let's say, the screen, a smart board kind of screen in the emergency room here on the table before me. But what I really liked about the solutions that you guys proposed were it's not only digital, right? So you thought about the way of interacting and conveying information with the smart board and then writing the screen and then automatically transcribing it, but then as well placing that, I think, in this new environment or new, I think you called it, space setup within the trauma bay. So it was, I think, both a physical but also then a digital solution. How were they reacting to that on those two levels?
I think a big breakthrough for our idea was that we thought thinking of which technology is already in place. And there is a broadcast system already established in the hospital which is used to call specific team members if a major trauma patient is coming in. So help me out here, Aisling, which nurse is it?
It would probably be a CNM.
CNM, okay.
Would be responsible for making a live broadcast to call once she gets wind that the ambulance is on its way and this is what they've told me and this is what you need to know. But what happens in that moment when she is live transcripting is a scribe nurse comes and physically writes down what she's saying, which is, again, just a blip in the road that we thought we could. Why don't we just harness the technology we already use? Because after that transcribe nurse writes down all that information, she runs into resource room and she writes it up on a physical whiteboard.
Mm-hmm.
So you're leaving about three different areas where you could make human error, which wouldn't necessarily be anyone's fault, but you could miscommunicate what you meant. They could write down something that wasn't true. They could skip something. And because there was so much room for that, there were so many different opportunities within the journey for that to happen. We thought, well, she's live broadcasting anyway. So why don't we live transcript onto a smart whiteboard to save that scribe nurse from writing all that down, to save her from repeating herself, and to save her from saying it to all the team when they arrive in A&E. So it kind of killed all those birds with one stone. And we showed that was one of the things we showed in our video. So I pretended to be the nurse giving the live broadcast. I was the actress, and we showed an animation of me speaking into the Voice Era device, which they would have recognized, they already use. and how it live transcribed everything I was saying and fitted into even the medication and all that kind of stuff, and how everyone in the room, it was communicated. So it saved overall, I think we calculated 10 minutes per major trauma when you consider all the regurgitation of the same information, and by the time the hospital team would get there and it being relayed, as well as the paramedics handover as well. So that is huge when you're dealing with life-saving time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think just from a design perspective, I really like the video aspect of it. Did you make a conscious decision? Was that the story that you were talking about? At first, maybe, for example, a storyboard was used, but then or a customer journey or something, and that it did not really convey the message. But then once using video material, it became a lot more tangible, maybe. That's something.
Absolutely. Yeah. The storyboard initially, we all understood it, but because again, we have a biased perspective, I suppose we're used to seeing things like that. They make complete sense. But we thought, why don't we show them the reality that they deal with every day, but adapt it in a way that brings our ideas to life and they can actually immerse and put themselves in the situation and identify their role within the situation. And yeah, we can send you a link to the video. It's live for everyone to see still, but it's we talked about.
I have not seen it yet.
Time. Oh, have you not?
No.
We showed I think we had a QR code leading to it in Berlin in our Save Time, Save Lives. But yeah, essentially a major car accident happens in the video. You see the paramedics assess the scene, make their diagnoses, and physically have everything down. And then that is relayed to the nurse. But then that's where the kind of magic happens, where all their burdensome tasks that they really don't look forward to start happening. And it shows how our new proposals come in to their already existing service and make their life a lot easier and give their energy and focus back to do their clinical work.
Yeah.
Actually, nice that you used roleplay as well, in addition to the video. And I'm wondering if you kind of prototyped the solution also together with the healthcare workers that you had access to. Did you bring them in during the design process itself as well, before presenting the prototype?
Absolutely. So healthcare workers were involved throughout the whole project, especially, of course, in the research phase at the beginning, because we needed their input to even know what's going on. So we did a lot of deep dive interviews at the beginning with consultants, nurses, also paramedics, so many different stakeholders. And later on, I think the touch points with the stakeholders were the presentations. And now we talked already about the failure in the concept presentation, but basically the funny thing, though, is we didn't really change something about our concept. We just visualized it differently. Mm-hmm. But for the healthcare workers, it appeared like, oh my God, they changed so much in the last 2 weeks. But we didn't. And then in the end, we were also able to kind of mock up a future version of the trauma bay. So we've been in the facilities in the new building, which was built in terms of creating this new trauma space. And we were able to see there how much space there would be, where is the bed standing, where the patient is lying on. So we could get a better sense of the space in general. And that was also in a conversation with the consultants. So we got input from them as well. Unfortunately, the 5 weeks, they were not, I mean, it's 5 weeks. We had to stop at some point. So we were not able to go in a proper testing phase, but we gave it into the hands of Mater Transformation and they took it on from there.
And now you actually are working with them as well. So even though the projects continued in their hands, I heard that that they actually got extra funding as well from HSE Spark Innovation. What's the result of that? What's the result of that project at the hospital?
Yeah, as it usually happens with these student projects, is that Mater Transformation is taking on ideas that seem valuable for healthcare workers. So Mater Transformation, in collaboration with the Strategic Projects Office, they together got funding from HSC Spark in order to go in the first round of testing. And with the money, they were able to purchase a screen. And as far as I know, I think there was an iteration on our idea as well. So the healthcare workers came up with an idea of a 4 split screen. So you would have 4 different parts on a specific screen showing different information to patients, not to the patient, but to the healthcare workers, but about the patient. So they were really interested in the idea of bringing up the checklist because they could see how valuable it is to have it visible for the whole team, but also to be able to document what happens in real time. So that's definitely one of the 4 smaller screens within the screen they were really interested in. But then also simple things like, honestly, just a big enough time. You know, you just need to see how many seconds are we already on this patient. And I don't even know why it's not already in place, because you would think that's something so simple to do. But yeah, this screen would enable the whole team to see, okay, we already spent 1:30 on this patient. We have to hurry up, or we are all set and we are all good to go. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there was a little bit of iteration, and from there it was taken over by the strategic projects office in the Mater Hospital, because they were more involved in the actual building of the new trauma center.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important to note as well that the checklists that Linda's referring to, they already used them, but they were physical laminated sheets of paper that were hanging on a cable tie. So you can imagine if, and they spoke and conveyed all the different kinds of major trauma that you could come across and the specific protocol to follow. So you can imagine if they came across something that they weren't particularly used to or very rare, like say a heavily pregnant woman, how do you resuscitate a heavily pregnant woman if you haven't done it in 10 years? Well, there's a checklist for that, but you're going to have to find it and go through it physically and then try and read it off, and you're only one person. So this screen aid would completely be able to identify very quickly what exactly the environment they were dealing with, how exactly to deal with it, and for everyone to see in one place as a 360 around the patient, rather than rely on that kind of protocol. So again, a very stressful situation made light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's amazing. And from the stories that you tell, we also hear, I think the attention to detail that you guys have had and also have experienced being there for 5 weeks with the healthcare workers on in the healthcare department. And speaking or thinking from perspective of a former service design student myself, I didn't really have the collaboration to go that deep into. Or I didn't have the opportunity to go that deep into an existing organization and have that collaboration. As former students, what do you think are the strengths of collaborations like this? And what was it for you being a student? What did you learn from that as well?
I learned a lot. It made me curious as well. I didn't consider ever being a designer in healthcare, and that was the first time I was exposed to it, and I kind of
remember
it.
That
and I was really into it. So being now actually within the team of Mater Transformation, it's a great experience as well, and I feel like only through the collaboration I kind of was able to go in there, and I've never expected that. So any collaboration between universities and companies or institutions, I think, is valuable, because it could always happen that you are the person that gets sparked by it. So it's absolutely amazing. I'm actually quite grateful that it happened.
100%. Yeah, I think it really prepares you for the real world of work. As well, the relationships you're probably going to have, the setbacks you could have as well. I felt absolutely prepared because of the experience we had going into my everyday working life now. which I think is important to note, and building those kinds of relationships and also learning about the trade itself. I was always interested in health and public service, but we also had exposure to public transport and I think financial, like anything you could think of as well. So it wasn't just the only thing we got to experience, but you really got to found your niche.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And see the potential that your skills could have in collaboration with multidisciplinary people as well. And even the fact that we got to work with the medical device interaction design, master's degrees as well, gave some great exposure and preparation for what to expect down the line, you know.
And even on the other hand, I think, I mean, there are many advantages for us as students in there, but I think the advantage also for the companies or the institutions are you can kind of in a low budget way, you can show the impact of design. Mm-hmm. And it's so, so important to get the message out there that design can have that impact and can make changes happen. And I think, yeah, the advantage is showing it and doing it, showing the action of it. Mm-hmm. And then that might spark other people saying, okay, we could actually do the same in our hospital or in our company. So I think there are benefits for everyone involved. Mm-hmm.
And even though a master's is an academic thing, you know, we had to test the theory. We couldn't just rely on the theory. We had to prove our assumptions every step of the way, and it was raw and it was real and it was holistic. So it was definitely a real world experience.
And with a great result as well. Not just winning the award, but I think just having the hospital also adopt at least part of the solution, and then handing it over to the strategic department for further elaboration. I mean, that's a big achievement and a super nice result to see after a student project that you worked so intensely on. So congratulations again on winning the Service Design Award with your project. And a big congratulations just for making people more aware of how simple and effective solutions can result from design thinking too. So
Just here to draw pictures.
Sometimes we are.
Sometimes.
But yeah, it's not fluff, you know. It could save mm-hmm. someone's life.
Exactly. So there's always a reason to it.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe as a last question, what is happening in your lives? What are you looking forward to currently?
For me, at the moment, I'm insanely happy to work as a service designer in healthcare, because it feels like a field you get a lot of just impact back, which I didn't think I could achieve so quickly after the master's, which is great. But then if you ask me about longer term thoughts, I would like to explore other fields as well. I think it's also always important as a designer to be quite, let's say, naive coming into a field and asking maybe the right questions nobody else would be able to ask because they're too long in the field. So I think it's healthy as a designer to switch, not disciplines, but at least environments you immerse yourself in. But for the moment, it's absolutely healthcare, 100%.
I think for me, I'm really overwhelmed as well, and feel very privileged that although I'm in strategy and consulting, that there still is a sector of health and public service that I can become aligned to. And I'm currently within that practice now, and it's absolutely where I want to stay for the foreseeable future, because I feel like we do the most kind of rewarding and impactful and important work. And even though I'm not even there a year, Accenture has really seen the way that I do things, the way that my brain works, and given me the space and opportunity to kind of prove why maybe we should do it this way or maybe whatever, and completely welcomed my way of thinking with open arms, so much so that I've been giving a crazy amount of responsibility and trust in doing particular things and working on certain projects. And my opinion is very much appreciated and has been shared across health and public service, which is really rewarding experience, because I can now see how my kind of thinking and ways of doing things, which they have never seen really before, have had much exposure to, they really see the value of it and are now using it almost as a blueprint in other fields. So that has been a really rewarding experience for me, and something I'm really excited to continue a part of down the line, just because it's something I never expected from a really big industry, but they really love new ways of working. They're very open to new ways of thinking, and that's very evident. And I get to kind of experience that and show the value of that every day.
Those are two very nice things to look forward to. So you're both still involved in healthcare, you're still involved in public services, and you both discovered this also through a master's degree. It's a simple choice, a simple bet that kind of changed what you're doing right now. So it's lovely to hear. Thank you for sharing both your stories as well. And I hope to see you soon, maybe in Helsinki in October.
Thanks so much for having us. It was really, it's nice to just exchange, you know, experiences and knowledge you've gained over a couple of years in the industry. So it's really nice to just connect with peers like you are.
Absolutely. Couldn't echo that more. And yeah, it was a real privilege to be here and be invited and had real meaningful conversation.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.